Thank the Lord, a lot of good news coming our way this morning with the songs and the testimony, and I appreciate Cindy's testimony. And a lot of times, people share, they share things of, when the wife knew that the husband was going to be the husband, and the husband kind of woke up to that later, and I think I like that illustration. Guys, when you have a free weekend, pop the question, go for it. And just a blessing of God on us. We thank the Lord for the Coyne family. Most of my life, my family didn't have any pets, but later in my teen years, my family got a dog, a golden retriever, and got that dog in particular because that breed was supposed to have a pretty calming effect on family life, high on loyalty, companionship, and just a good, good people dog to have around. Well, this particular dog was that, but was more than we expected. It was very hyper and excited when it would see people. And if you were a guest in our house, it would be the ideal church greeter, you might say. Come up to you, lick you 10 times within 5 seconds, and jump on you and run around you a little bit. And just a little bit out of control. If you've been greeted like that in the church, just tell the greeter and the usher to calm down there. But that was our dog. And it was like that, not because of just the way it was, but somewhere in its past, the mom and dad of our dog had that quality. And so it naturally was passed on in that manner. And the Bible tells us that you and I resemble all humanity in qualities that humanity has, you and I have. And we especially resemble the original parents of you and I, which the Bible tells us is Adam and Eve. And we take on their qualities and how we respond to God a lot. It's going to be similar to how Adam and Eve responded to God. God's Word tells us in Romans 5:19, through the disobedience of one man, Adam, we all, many became sinners. So we got that Adam and Eve quality within us. And just to check them out, put their shoes on for a little bit, and see how to respond in a healthy manner to the Lord, and not so much like Adam and Eve all the time. And so this is what Adam and Eve did, and we have a pattern like them. One of the first things they did by their actions, when they realized, oh, God is God, and I turned my back on Him, they disobeyed the Lord. One of the first things they did, they began to perform in order to get peace with God. They kind of woke up and said, I have to do something so that everything will be okay between me and God. And the Bible tells us they made fig leaves for themselves and covered themselves because something just wasn't right between them and God. And they realized something's not right between you and I, dear, as they spoke to each other. And so it was the first time people tried to cover their tracks, you might say, cover themselves, had a bad feeling about themselves. And Adam and Eve's testimony was might be, I will work so everything will be okay. I will put on a performance I will have an image. In our world today, there's an advertisement that says, image is everything. And what you are on the outside, that's what's most important. What you project to others, the key. God's words is not the key. Not the key. Adam and Eve had the fig leaves. That wasn't going to help them with one another, nor with God. He would have to come and do something. So they really made works righteousness something that they put on themselves. I will do something and be at peace with God. That wasn't going to work. And any time you have to work or perform in order to keep a relationship with another person or with God Himself going well, that's a very unhealthy thing for you to do in regards to yourself and the Lord. God doesn't want that kind of relationship. He knows we can't live up to it. If we could see the slide there on the screen, Adam and Eve really set the precedent and the pattern for all religions of the world. Whether you look at the Islamic faith or Hinduism or even some parts of Christianity that gets out of bounds. And I know as a pastor, I constantly have to check myself because my tendency in preaching or in even the Christian life is to this here. The Adam and Eve pattern. All religions of the world. The religious activity plus the work will bring peace with God. And that's what Adam and Eve went for. But it didn't bring peace with God. Let's see the second slide, what Christ does for us. Right after Adam and Eve turned their back on God and began to make their own fig leaves and say, I gotta do the image performance thing before God. God said, hey, I will provide somebody who will bring peace to you, and my provision will crush the head of the serpent. I'll take care of the pain of your soul that's in there. And that would be through Christ. First prophecy of Christ is in that passage that was read for us today. Christ brings peace with God. And he's the only one who can do that for Adam and Eve or anybody else. This morning, if you feel out of sorts with God and feel I got to cover up in some manner with my own goodness or something, the Lord says, please don't do that. Let Christ be your goodness. And he brings peace with God, and then we follow after him with our works. So our works, our fig leaves, are not a prerequisite for salvation. The goodness that comes is a post-requisite, you might say. It flows after the peace that God brings. Thank you, fellows, very much. And the Lord lets us know in the Bible, all our righteousness as we walk with God, all our fig leaves, as it were, is as filthy rags. We're just not going to be able to do it on our own. And sometimes we think we do by the pattern of other relationships. For example, one little boy growing up in his home, he didn't feel like he got a lot of love messages from his parents. He didn't know if his parents loved him all the time. Sometimes they did and sometimes they didn't. He was all up in the air about that. They didn't express it real well verbally or otherwise. And one day he did very well in school, came home with all A's on his report card. And he was very thankful. Showed it to his dad. His dad said, Johnny, you made all A's. I love you. I love you, Johnny, for making all A's. And, of course, Johnny was tickled pink. But Johnny began to get the message in his mind, both with key people in his life and with the Lord. If I do well, then I get a lot of love. If I don't do well, there's no love coming my way. And that's not the news Christ came to bring. He came to bring the change, to bring the love. And then the change of heart occurs after we're embraced by that love. It was shown by a good mom and dad back in the 1970s when President Jimmy Carter was elected for the first time as president. And he was on his way to the White House in a parade, walking with his family. And his wife was there and children, but also his mom. And a reporter asked his mom this question, Mrs. Carter, are you proud of your son? And she responded by saying, which one? She had Jimmy as a son, and she had Billy as a son. And Billy tended to go out of bounds a lot. But she loved Billy and Jimmy equally, the president and the beer salesman at the time. Loved them, you know, equally, and wanted their life to change because of that love. And that, when the Lord sees us, he says, I will provide for you. We don't perform. We receive Christ. As you walk with Christ this week, would you want to perform for him, or would you want to be embraced by him? See, he offers the embrace. And then we go with him in the work. And the first unhealthy response, performance. Second was hiding. Hiding, intent on not being close to God. Adam and Eve hid from God, it says in the Word. And when we attempt to conceal our sin by our reputation, or sometimes by non-intimacy with other people, it's one way to hide. We don't know the goodness of God. I remember being stopped by a policeman outside the home where we lived in Erie County because I went through a stop sign too quickly. This was right in my neighborhood, me and the policeman and the neighbors. I was thinking they're watching out the window for sure on this one. But I could not hide. I could not hide. I was just there. And it's been said that you and I, when we try to hide from the Lord, well, we can't hide. There's no escape from him, praise the Lord. It says in Psalm 90, verse 8, that he takes our secret sins and puts them in the light of his presence. And that's meant to be a blessing. You know, any secret sins. We can't hide them from the Lord today. We bring them to him, and he says, I bring the change and the forgiveness that you desire in your heart. And we might be ashamed of ourselves occasionally, but the Lord is not ashamed of us because of Christ. And it's great news. The passage read, Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. Sometimes we as believers, we get on each other's cases sometimes, or even in our own family life, we say, look what you did, you embarrassed me, you put shame upon us. But Christ takes any shame we have in himself. He says, I'm not ashamed of you all. He's glad to love and stand up next to us, call us his own. Instead of hiding, we confess and renounce sin or hurt against God. Proverbs 28. Those who conceal their sin will not prosper, but as we confess and renounce our sin, we will find mercy. Mercy available to us today. So it's not performing or hiding or not excusing. Adam and Eve like to make excuses. If I can't find an excuse for myself, I'll find a lawyer who will give excuses for me. Thank the Lord for good lawyers. But Adam and Eve blamed, they began to blame. Adam said it was Eve who ate the apple. Eve said it was the serpent. And someone said the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. And nor Adam and Eve, for that matter. When we make excuses for our sin, we become like an escape artist. I used to like to watch David Copperfield or films of Houdini. They're all in a pickle and they have to get out of it. And we try to get out of our own jam. But everybody knows, especially the Lord, we are just pretending. We are just pretending when we make excuses. And God lets us know in Romans chapter 1, even by just who God is, by what he made, we know God is God. So it says something very true and very convicting. So that you and I are without excuse. Wow. One of the great ministries of the Holy Spirit is to get each one of us before God and realize we have no excuse before him for our spiritual state. We can't say, well, if I had a better, you know, Bible to read, or if I had the right kind of Sunday school teacher, or if my parents were just a little more, or if my spouse was a little more. God says, we have no excuse. God is God. And we give an account to him for our own spiritual state. And he invites us, hey, come to him and don't make excuses, nor hide, nor perform. But get covered in his goodness. Get covered. That's what God finally did for Adam and Eve. The Lord made garments for Adam and Eve and clothed them. Did you ever help clothe somebody? You do it with a lot of care, hopefully, you know. Children or somebody who just break their arms, so you have to help them with the coat on. The Lord clothes sinners today in Christ. He helps us where we can't help ourselves. And when all that occurred, Adam and Eve running for their life, God approaching them and saying, hey, where are you? And God, you know what he did? He cursed the serpent and he cursed the ground, but he didn't curse Adam and Eve. Wow. I mean, their sin was devastating enough and it would affect humanity for all time. But God didn't curse Adam and Eve. God said, I'll make a covering for you. I'll bring the Savior to crush the serpent's head. And how the Lord does that for us. With Adam and Eve and with you and I, Ravi Zacharias has said, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He didn't say, come on, Adam and Eve, improve next time around. He didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. Because Adam and Eve, they were dead. They needed a personal resurrection from the Lord. He does that for us through his love, through his kindness. And just like the Lord covered Adam and Eve with those animal skins, that was costly to do. There had to be a death. The Lord would cover us with the best robe, best robe. Remember the prodigal son who came home? Really was out of bounds. The father said, come bring the best robe for him. Romans 13 says, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. What a gift. One of the best writers in English language, William Shakespeare, took Christ as his covering toward the end of his life. It's a wonderful testimony to him, to the Lord. He wrote this about in his last will and testament. He said, I commend my soul to the hands of God, assuredly believing only through the merits of Jesus, my Savior, to be made a partaker of everlasting life. How beautiful to say. Performance God doesn't want. Hiding He doesn't invite. Excusing He forbids. But a covering He provides. The very goodness of Christ, the merits of Jesus Christ, to cover us today. Isn't it wonderful when we take the bread and the cup? We don't come because of performance or hiding or excusing. We come because Jesus covers us with His very own goodness. And Isaiah chapter 61 would say amen to that. As Isaiah's testimony was simply this. For God has clothed me with garments of salvation and given me a robe of righteousness. As we meet with the Lord and walk with Him throughout this week, could you take Jesus once again as your covering and as your robe? And what sharing He does with us, His own nature, His own holiness He passes on to us. We're grateful and we're glad to learn from Adam and Eve, but we're glad to learn from the second Adam, Jesus, who covers us with Himself. Might we pray as God's people and be close to Him as we approach communion time. When we pray today, I'm going to remember a couple people. I'd ask you to keep in prayer Chet Truxell, as he just yesterday, I believe, lost a very unexpectedly a grandson who was in his 30s and healthy, and just something occurred and his heart just didn't work. So pray for God's comfort for Chet and for his family. We thank the Lord for His ministry to them. I remember Nancy coming, recovering from surgery for those who would be on the mission field. And pray together with me as we prepare to be with the Lord at His table.